Nehemiah chapter 6. So Nehemiah's rebuilding the temple, and it's really difficult for him. He keeps getting all these setbacks, but God's really with him. And it's really the picture of all effort that we make for God, that it won't go easily. You decide to do something, you try to do it, and there's always problems. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the rest of our enemies heard that we'd finished building the wall. Now, these were the local people who lived around Jerusalem. And they heard that there were no more gaps in it, although actually we had still not set up the gates in the gateways. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me, asking me to meet with them in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I knew that this was a trick of theirs to try to harm me. So I sent my messengers back to them. I told them to tell them, I'm doing important work for the Lord and I can't go there to the meeting. I'm not going to let the work stop just to go and see you. And you will find that even those who call themselves brethren will say, no, no, stop the work. Let's have dialogue. Let's have a meeting. And this is all rubbish. You've got to do God's work and not allow these kind of people to distract you by all their talk about, you know, we saw it earlier in Nehemiah, they said, oh, let's work together, when they actually only wanted to stop the work. And you've got to be wise and realize that people may say things about, oh, yes, there must be dialogue and there must be a meeting and all that, when really they've got their own agenda. They're not really seeking at all to be friends with you, nor to advance the Lord's work. And so Nehemiah's absolutely right here. No, I'm not going to stop doing the Lord's work to just have a meeting with you people. And they sent me the same message four times, and every time I gave the same reply. So this is another characteristic of these people. They will keep on trying to wear you down. And you have to be strong, very strong, to keep on doing God's work. Then Sanballat sent one of his servants to me a fifth time. But this time he had an unsealed letter. That is a letter that was not, as it were, stuck down so that Nehemiah could read it. And it says this, Geshem is telling that a rumor is circulating around all the local people around here that you and the Jews intend to revolt against the empire of Persia. And that's why you're rebuilding the wall. And he says that you want to make yourself king, and that you've paid prophets to prophesy in Jerusalem that you're the king of Judah. The emperor is going to hear about this, so I suggest you need to meet us to talk the situation over. Of course, the kings of Persia had given them permission to build the wall. They had told them to go and rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. So again, you know, it's lies and just trying to put people in fear because they're jealous. That's what it comes down to. And so Nehemiah sends a reply to him saying, what you're saying is not true. You have just made this up. So there are times when you do have to tell people that's not true. You don't have to embellish it with any more than that and make personal attacks on them for being liars. Just tell them that's not true. That's the end of it. But you do have to say that sometimes. They were just trying to put us in fear so that the work would stop. So I prayed, but now, O God, make me strong for this work. And so again, you see Nehemiah responding to all the discouragement by prayer. There's several times when he does this. He meets these obstacles and he takes it to the Lord in prayer. Now about this time, I visited Shemaiah, who was the grandson of Mehetabel, who was confined to his house. And he said to me, you and I must go into the most holy place of the temple and lock the doors because they're going to come and kill you. And any time now, they're going to come at night and kill you. But I replied, should a man like me run and do that? Do you think that I would really save my life by hiding in the temple? I will not do it. Because, of course, the only person who could go into the holy place, really, was the priest, and probably he has in view the most holy, so it's really only the high priest once a year is supposed to do this. So he's saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, as it were, mock the holiness of God just because of all these stories that you're telling that put me in fear. When I thought about it, I realized that God had not in fact spoken to Shemaiah. So this guy is speaking in the name of God when he's actually lying. So he's a false prophet. And I realized that Tobiah and Sanballat had actually paid him to tell me this. They had hired him, as it were, to try to make me sin so that they could ruin my name and then bring me down. What an awful thing to do, to pay money to somebody and say, I say that Yahweh said that you've got to go into the most holy place and hide to save your life. And he thinks about it and says, nah, this isn't a word from God. This is clearly a setup. So you will have trials in your life from false brethren, as Paul did. People who claim to be the people of God when they're not. And they've got their little agenda to bring you down. And they have no conscience about how they use the name of God and twist God's word, etc. And again, I love this. He prays. I prayed, O my God, remember the works of Tobiah and Sanballat and reward them for their works. And also that false prophetess Nodaiah and all the other false prophets who tried to put me into fear. Now it seems this Shemaiah wasn't the only false prophet. There was a woman called Nodaiah and others who had also said, oh, Nehemiah, Yahweh says this or says that. And when he hadn't said that, because they were just so bitter, these people, they wanted to stop the work. After 52 days, the entire work on the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul. When our enemies and the nations around us heard about this, they realized that they were now ashamed, since everybody knew that the work could only have been done with the help of God. Throughout all this period, the leaders of the Jews had been in contact with Tobiah. He's the Ammonite who was the enemy of Nehemiah. Many in Judah had come onto his side. In addition, his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam. People would talk in front of me about what a good man Tobiah was and how he'd done so much good. And whatever I said, they reported back to him. And he kept sending these letters to me to try to put me into fear. That's the worst thing. When the people on your own team, on supposedly on your side, are actually friends with the enemy. This is really awful when that happens, and I really feel for Nehemiah, because when people are lying and when people are attacking the work of God and trying to bring it down, these people are evil. It doesn't matter if they say that they're part of the people of God or not. So Nehemiah's situation, you will probably go through at some point in your life, maybe often. And just remember that he took it all to the Lord in prayer. He must have felt so lonely when he realized even those who were close to him were actually marrying into the family of his enemies and were repeating what he was saying to them and talking up this evil man Tobiah like he was a good guy. And yeah, it's a bit like what happened to poor David when he was in the court of Saul. All the servants of Saul said, oh, yes, yes, the king really loves you, David. And David would be thinking, no, the guy tried to kill me by throwing a javelin at me. He's crazy. He hates me. He's jealous. And when you're in those situations, it feels very, very lonely. And all you can do is, like Nehemiah did, to turn to God and to tell God about it.